Paycheck Protection Loans, Round 2. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The next round of Paycheck Protection Program loans starts today. Federal officials say they've worked out the kinks that plagued the first round of PPP loans. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Sabri.
Hey, so what is different this time around?
Well, starting today, the Small Business Administration, the SBA, will only accept PPP applications from small community lenders. They tend to work with Black and minority-owned businesses, which may not have a traditional bank account. The government is trying to make the process more inclusive after criticism that banks processing PPP loans favored their existing customers. The SBA says it'll start accepting loan applications from more traditional banks shortly.
Well, you know, the money ran out after the first round of PPP loans. Is that going to happen again?
The SBA says no. And remember, Sabri, Congress did allocate more money for PPP loans and actually had some left over when the program ended. The Treasury Department says it doesn't anticipate running out of money this time.
You know, this at this point, so late in the game, will the second round of PPP money help businesses survive?
Yeah, it'll help. Businesses that already got a PPP loan will be eligible for another one if they have fewer than 300 employees and can show at least a 25% loss for at least one quarter of last year. Also, the loan money can be used to cover more expenses, also to buy supplies, including personal protection equipment.
All right. Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much. The number of social media platforms and internet service providers that have blocked or otherwise cut ties with President Trump has grown. There was Twitter, of course, which dropped the president's personal account and his connection to 88 million followers. It was followed by Facebook, Snapchat, Reddit, Instagram, Pinterest, and Stripe, the payment platform. Marketplace's tech host Molly Wood has more.
There is a lot to be said about misinformation and disinformation and how we really will not be able to have a civil society unless we have a shared agreement on what's true. Right now, we do not have that. But the other thing we should take away from how bad things have gotten and how quickly these big platforms are able to act when real extremist violence was plotted and is being plotted online is that these are businesses. For years, it's been obvious that more extreme content was more popular online, whether it was stupid stunts or eventually far-right political disinformation and conspiracy theories. And that doesn't just mean spreading a new religion by true believers. It's profit. Social media companies profited from engagement and clicks and ad revenue, and these conspiracist influencers also profit from engagement and clicks and ad revenue. They're selling merchandise and books and speaking engagements and soliciting donations. Social media has been a Wild West where there was a lot of money to be made. And unfortunately, a lot of people figured out that you could make money by telling extreme stories that, equally unfortunately, people would believe. There was a lot of money to be made in deliberately undermining the truth and, for these platforms, in allowing that to happen. We're now at a point, finally, where the danger seems to outweigh the profit.
That was Marketplace tech host Molly Wood. Let's take a look at the numbers this morning. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 4-6% range, with the Dow future down 185 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.102%. President-elect Joe Biden has vowed to make the environment a top priority in an agenda that would reverse many Trump administration policies. But environmental policy will be just one item on a crowded, urgent agenda, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Environmentalists consider the last 4 years a disaster. President Trump rolled back environmental protections and withdrew the U.S. from international agreements on climate change. But Joshua Busby, a fellow at the Center for Climate and Security, says things are about to change.
People are hugely optimistic in a way that they haven't been for some time.
He says the announcement of former EPA Chief Gina McCarthy as the first national climate advisor and former presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg as the Secretary of Transportation helped fuel that optimism. They've pushed for stricter policies on car emission standards and stronger regulation of the oil and gas industry. Biden has pledged to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement as soon as he takes office, but Busby says the first step to meeting global climate goals is for the U.S. to tackle what it's doing at home.
The problem for the U.S. is that it has to be able to come up with credible action of its own, because it can't really put pressure on others if its domestic scene is not in order.
Biden will take office with an urgent set of problems, including an out-of-control pandemic, a lagging vaccination campaign, and an economy in recession. But Rachel Cletus at the Union of Concerned Scientists says addressing climate change doesn't have to take a back seat.
We need to make sure that we're making the kind of investments that will get us out of this economic hole we're in right now, create jobs, get people back to work, as well align with our longer-term goals to move towards a low-carbon economy.
And Nick Loris at the Heritage Foundation says there's no denying there's business opportunity in embracing the Biden administration's call for action on climate change.
But at the same time, there's skepticism about promulgating regulations that are going to be costly, may have unintended environmental consequences by shifting businesses overseas, and therefore yielding negligible climate benefits.
He expects the Biden administration will use a carrot and stick approach to climate change. Carrot in the form of tax incentives for reducing emissions, and the stick in the form of new regulations. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.